Here's the situation. I've been trying to order cookies for 3 days now from my new favorite cookie place called Midnight Cookies. And Charles Douglas and Maria Mando and others got me hooked on these cookies. Oh, hang on a second. We're joined by a special guest today.
Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
I cannot hear you.
Oh, that's weird. Okay, hold on.
Well, you're going to get it figured out. I'm going to tell my story. And if you have to go off and call back, that's fine. I could barely hear you that last time, but like barely. I'm not going to reveal the special guest so you can talk. But trying to order these cookies. And on Monday, Charles Douglas goes, man, have you ordered your cookies? And I said, oh, you're right. I need to do it. So I go and I get all fired up. I'm going to order these cookies. And, hang on a second. Hello? Hello? Are you there?
Hello.
Oh, I know what's going on. Hang on. I know what's going on.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me? Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear Larcy?
I cannot.
Oh, she was on and now she's off.
We need her back.
Yep, I'm going to go grab her. We are. Instead of making coffee this morning, I was making a bottle. And we are.
That's what I'm talking about.
We're trying to get her going.
It's because.
No, I know why. It had nothing to do with you two. It was on my side. This is a surprise. I'm usually the tech whiz, but it was on my side.
Yeah, super big surprise. You're usually like the tech innovator, so.
Exactly.
Tell us what to do.
Larcy just needs to call back in. This is what makes our podcast compelling right here, is these long pauses. So I'm going to go back to my story. So I try to order these midnight cookies on Monday. I'm all
Wait, I'm now listening to your story. Go ahead.
Wait, yes, I was telling the story, and then I got interrupted by trying to get you two in, but I was messing up on my side. So I try to order the cookies on Monday night, and I'm like so excited about this. And I go on, and it's closed. It's closed on Mondays. I'm like, oh, right? Okay. So then yesterday is Tuesday, and oh, hang on a second.
She's getting back in.
All right. You there?
I'm here.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Okay, wait. Hold on, Larcy. He's telling a story. Go ahead. Tried to order them on Monday. They were closed.
Right.
And then on Tuesday.
Midnight cookies. Right. So Tuesday morning, that's yesterday in case you can't all keep straight. Have you all seen that viral video, the little song about what day is it? I don't know. What day is it? Yesterday was Tuesday. And I decide, oh, yeah, this is going to be great. I'm going to get a cookie. I'm going to have it as a dessert for lunch. I was like, call them at like 11:30. They don't open until 3. Okay. So I'm like, oh, gosh.
They're like, dude, we're called Midnight Cookie Mart. Okay. You can't get us for lunch. Okay.
Okay. So then I'm like, okay, we have our staff meeting at 2:00. And the whole time, you know, I'm thinking about the cookies. Right. So I'm like, okay, I'm 3:00. I'm going to order the cookies at 3:00. It's like 3:02. I go online to order cookies. They're sold out of chocolate chip cookies. Okay.
Oh.
Okay. I'm like, this is just killing me here. Okay, so
you know why? Because you and half of Seattle was waiting until 3 o'clock.
I know. And so then I start like thinking about like, okay, I forget about it. Then I just said, okay, I'm going to eat my Oreos. That's fine. But I'm like, they gotta start making double cookies because they were out of like 7 out of 10 cookies. All right.
So one, now you know how I feel when I try to buy exclusive sneakers that launch. Okay. This is what happened with the Jordans on when The Last Dance aired. Okay. So that's one thing. The other thing is actually Midnight Cookie Mart will put, they'll make more cookies and then they'll like, they'll go back in and like, and put them back on the menu over the course of the night.
Oh, okay. All right. So yeah. I'm like, you know, at the UW, when I've been there over the years, students would have dedicated in registration for classes time. It'd be like 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. on the 23rd of May or something. Okay. And they would set their alarms for a few minutes before this, because you got to go in right away. Yes. If you're going to get a high demand That's class. Right. So I'm setting my alarm for 2:59 today. All right. PM. And I'm going yes. in at 3 o'clock and I'm ordering. Right. And if it says out, they're out. I'm calling them. Like sometimes they might be lying online or something, or not up to date or something. Right. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? You need to be on the ball. Okay. I don't care if you're talking to a donor. I don't care if you're in the middle yeah. of a counseling session. I don't care if you're planning strategically with an employee or something. You need to pause whatever you're doing and get on there and make that order.
Absolutely. And you know, if you all,
you know what, I'm invested in this. I'm going to set my alarm.
Okay. All right.
And I will reach Excellent. Out to you at 3 o'clock.
Perfect. Everybody who's listening to this podcast, let's make sure that this is a point that Charles brought up a week ago, that we are investing in our local businesses, right? That we Yes. are, that we are still supporting them. And if you have to do it online or make a phone call and then go pick it up, whatever, this is, we've got to do this. Yep.
Yeah. But nobody else order from Midnight Cookie Mart at 3. No, at least not chocolate chip cookies. Not chocolate chip cookies. Order a different cookie. Leave those for David.
Totally, yes. Well, hey, Larcy, it's great to have you on the Three Things episode.
Yeah, can you guys hear me okay? I think I successfully logged in or called in.
Yes, you're good. Solid, yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. So I don't know if you know that we have a podcast, but I'm just kidding. you've
Gee,
been on it.
Which one? Yes.
That's right. Which one? That's right. Well, Charles started us with a podcast about 9 months ago, and this one is just way better. So this one is the one now. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And this particular episode, every day or most every day, we do three things where we pick one thing that is kind of, you know, inspiring us or making us feel good or got us excited. And we talk about them for a few minutes and then we go through them and that's it. So, mm-hmm. Larcy, I'm glad to have you on. I've been thinking about some things that I'd like to have you on the podcast for. So let's start with this one. Is there anything that's got you feeling upbeat or positive today?
Yes, so just a little bit of background. Last summer, we had a really successful internship program that we didn't really intentionally set out like a big, robust, program for, but just wanted to see how things would go if there were additional bodies in the office. And we had a really, really successful group that was with us all throughout summer who helped us do our events, who, you know, one of them traveled with you to Kentucky.
And then after that,
we got busy. We got back to our normal routine of busyness. Plus, they also had to go back to school, so we couldn't keep them. And we just kind of had an idea that we were just going to do something like this, probably summertime. Well, then, you know, COVID hit, and there were some conversations happening before COVID about prepping another cohort of interns for summer, and I wanted to get ahead of the game because, you know, baby September was on the way, and I wanted to line up some things so that I didn't get inundated with a lot of to-dos. And so I started some conversations with some folks, and then so the baby came, and then I did a lot more thinking. Since then, we got quarantined, then I did a lot more thinking, way more thinking, because I had a lot of time to think. And then, you know, just had another set of conversations and how I really didn't want to abandon this program. It's something that I have done in the past. It was a leadership mentorship program, and I'm really happy I was able to offer it and to provide it on some scale with CP. And then during this time around, I had, you know, really good conversations with an advisor at UW at the LSJ department. And then four potential interns, four college students reached out to me directly, eager to start something other than summer. So I said, you know what, why not? Let's just try this. We do need some help on some areas because we had to, you know, do a 180 with a lot of our operations due to, you know, COVID and what kind of remote work we had to do. So I decided to say, why not? Let's do this. And so after a lot of thinking and after a lot of, you know, ink on paper, so to speak, this week we launched the program and have officially four interns that we get to meet and work with the rest of spring quarter. So they have 7 weeks left for this spring quarter. And they're really eager to know the kind of work that we're doing. One of them just reached out to me asking, you know, what kind of, you know, should he buy stamps to start some type of letter campaign that we're doing? And then another one was really also eager to, you know, bring this to her community because this is the kind of like social justice kind of lens that she has had for her community, and this would give them a voice of some sort to be able to understand the political landscape and how to you know, make their voice that much stronger. So I'm super eager to, you know, to bring them on. I already have their, you know, 2 weeks of schedule, you know, handed out to them this week, and already they're looking at videos, they're looking at past workshops because we can't meet them in person just yet. Because they won't be able to come to our office just yet, I wanted them to get familiar with our voices, with our faces, and kind of the, you know, the messaging we have with the organization. And, you know, they're already doing homework. So I think, you know, it was well received, and I'm really, really looking forward to, you know, to working with them. And I can't wait for the rest of the staff members to meet them.
Yeah. And that's our next intern right there, September.
Yeah, I know. How do I mute myself so she isn't too loud?
No.
Holy cow. Oh. I'll show you how to mute. You got it?
Okay. I got her. She was just adding her 2 cents. She's my sidekick through this, and she knows how much mom's been typing away.
Totally. Well,
that's right.
I got multiple ideas going right now, but let me just ask you, Larcy, as one follow-up, because then maybe that's all we're going to get in before September takes over. We try in Common Purpose to have the people on our leadership staff, the ones that are full-time or contract workers with us, to operate in spaces that really feed their interests and their soul. And it's good for the organization, but it's also really good for the leadership staff member. So why does this work particularly get you fired up?
You know, I have done mentorship work all my life. I also know that I benefited from mentorship. I, you know, being a first generation immigrant to the States, I didn't have my family here. I didn't have my cousins here. I didn't have the close friends that I had, you know, growing up in the Philippines. I didn't have them here. And so I gravitated towards, you know, persons and relationships that helped guide me through, you know, navigating a whole different country, navigating a language I had to relearn. And so I understand and I'm very empathetic towards situations where you can provide mentorship, you can provide guidance, because I benefited from those types of relationships. And so throughout my nonprofit work, throughout my community work, even in spaces in my career, I always, always offer, you know, a helping hand. I always offer an opportunity to show somebody a different way, a better way, to provide them with some guidance. And so, you know, for a long time, I didn't do anything, you know, that was more in the forefront of the work that I've been doing. It's always just been on the sidelines. I still work with youth in the community, but it never was something that was day to day. And I think that's probably the exciting part about this, is it's becoming day to day, and I get to have it all around me, immersed in it. And then I get to include staff members in CP with the leadership development, and also helping them out become the leaders that we know they're capable of doing or being.
So wait, hold on. Let me just, as somebody who knows her very well, and has been around during these times when she's talking about when she's been mentoring people. She's been doing this for a decade.
Uh-huh.
Okay. When the last time we had around, we had small kids. That's when she started doing this. And so she would bring our 3-year-old and our 1-year-old to these practices where she taught Filipino dance and mentored these kids. So she's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, I see it. I mean, I see it. It's just like, it's the oxygen that you breathe, that you just, this is where when people have their superpowers and they're operating their superpower, it just happens. They just do it. It's like so comfortable for them.
Yeah, and it's not just like the bringing in the college students. I just know the opportunities that we'll have with the college interns. I'll be able to challenge and also encourage, you know, the staff members that we have to help themselves become, you know, either, you know, practicing their managerial skills, practicing their ability to, you know, tell people, you know, kind of delegate some work. And I think, you know, eventually, you know, or one of our core principles and our non-negotiables with CP is that we want to invest in next generation leaders. That's great and everything, but, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, we're not plucking them from, you know, where they used to be already groomed. We still have some grooming to do, and for ourselves. And so if we create an environment where we have those practices in place, then we can really harness those skills and then be better off when we're out there representing ourselves in you know, nationally when we're doing the work.
So, totally. So David, yeah. I know you're cooking on an idea, but I got to ask this. So this is an internship program, but it's with CP. How is this internship program going to be different than other internship programs? Because we're a unique organization, and I say that all the time. And it feels like this internship program, this experience is going to be unlike many others. How do you think it'll be different?
One of the defining characteristics of the program that I've been part of at UW has been that many, many of our students do internships, communication/media/journalism kind of internships are very important for students. One of the realities that we're a hands-on civic organization where people are going to get a chance to dive into the history and the contemporariness of voter suppression, voting injustice, and to work right now in this defining moment in American history to help try to advance us and push us forward. I mean, those kind of like the stakes, the S-T-A-K-E-S, the stakes involved here are so high. And the ability to be part of that is this kind of moment for college or high school students where they're going to be like, wow, I'm part of something like this. And I think Larcy said four. I think she said four. I know there was four, yeah. Or there were, I can't remember how many there were last year. There were two that AJ was leading for our leadership lab, and there were two interns that you were leading, Larcy. I think if we can put together a cohort model too, that would be really cool.
Yes, and that's the I guess the progress I want to eventually make. I think right now we're starting small because we had a success rate last year of, you know, I think, you know, 100% if I'm going to brag and boast about it. And, you know, they also want to come back. They, you know, I know for a fact my two interns want to come back. The fact that one of them was able to travel was like icing on the cake. And again, that made me think about the overall program, about the end, you know, the end project, so to speak, that they get to do. The fact that she went to, you know, Kentucky with you and door knocked and then, you know, helped to elect, you know, the governor there and actually won that seat. She was fired up. And, you know, at the end of that program where we were asking them about, you know, what they learned and, you know, how has this experience really made them a different version of themselves prior to them starting the program. She prided herself on being like the political guru now in her family. You know, and I think that was, you know, that was a pride, you know, that was a proud moment for us that we were, you know, we educated her enough in this whole space that her whole family was going to her about opinions about certain policies, opinions about candidates. And now she just wants to do more. She's been itching to want to do more. And, you know, it's hard right now to say, well, hold tight, I have something for you later. Is probably, you know, a disappointment in her ears right now, but I have big plans for what we're going to do for summer, especially when I hope that we're ready for travel.
Yep. Yeah, I have a couple really ideas I'm really excited about, but I'm going to save them for offline because there's things for us to chat through. But what you've just shared, Larcy, fires me up. So I'm really excited about this, and I appreciate you. You've been leading the way on this work for us, and I appreciate it. It's great.
Awesome. I'm excited. I can't wait for you guys to – I can't wait for everybody to meet them. They're eager, and I had – you know, when they were telling me how interested they were kind of doing their little sales pitch, and I can't say no to that. I really can't, especially when they're the ones reaching out to us, especially if they took the time out to do some research. So initially I just said, two.
I know, we said two. Yeah.
And then after
she was like, oh, there's three. And I was like, three? What are we doing with three? And she's like, there's four now.
Yeah, I could not say exactly. No. I love their enthusiasm. I love their enthusiasm. I love that they're interested in the work. That's what was inspiring me to say, okay, you're in. Because I don't want to say no and discourage the energy, because we need energy right now, and we need everyone's energy to, you know, to be a cannonball to help win 2020.
A cannonball interns, I love it. All right, I'm gonna hop us forward to our next thing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Can you stay on the line with us, Larcy, or not?
Yes, I will be on mute though.
Okay. Well, hop in for at least make a comment here or there. Okay. Thanks for Promise. Getting on with us. Okay. All right. Charles, you got something, or do you want me to go?
No, I'll go because you sound like you're in the middle of something over there.
I'm just it's raining outside right now. I mean, which is awesome. So I had to make a stop back at home, drop off the dog, get my son to dry off the dog, okay. And get a hat on. So yeah, I'm ready now.
Okay. You're wearing a hat? What kind of hat are you wearing? Is it like a cowboy hat, like with a brim that goes all the way around?
No,
like
it's
a garden hat, maybe.
Let me see here. I just pulled it off. It's an Old Navy hat.
Did you have to look at it because you didn't know what you put on your head?
Yeah, I had no idea. One size fits all. it's blue with a light blue stripe on it. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Hey, your phone just buzzed, okay?
What?
Yes. All right.
Well, your car alarm's going off or whatever.
Well, let me tell you that today is garbage day in my area of the city, okay?
Yeah,
So I passed like five garbage trucks already.
Yeah, this is that's great. So I got – so the second thing, you are going to love – this second thing, I want to tell you that it is going to be, it's going to be just as exciting as the first thing. The second thing, and I don't know if you heard about the Tyson meat plant that it's closing in Iowa indefinitely because of coronavirus.
No, I did not. Is that today? That's today news?
Yeah, that was today. Larson mentioned one in South Dakota.
Yeah.
Another company probably. One.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So my thing number two is all of us are going to be healthier because we're all going to eat less meat.
Okay. And, all right.
I thought you'd be really happy about that. I know that you have been wanting to switch entirely over to veggie burgers, and yeah. The time is coming. It's coming for you, man. This is you're going to love it.
How about this? Let me just offer a friendly amendment. I'll meet you like this because politics is about compromise, right? So
yes, it is.
I'll meet you on that, and I'll say that I've already been doing this. I've taken steps to eat healthier, and so like every day I'm trying to have like fruit and a little bit of protein, some protein, and that's where I'll meet you right there. Fruit and a little bit of protein. Okay.
So wait, you're meeting me on eating less meat with that you started to eat fruit? You started,
you're 52-year-old man, you started to eat fruit?
53, man, 53. Protein. And some protein. So I'm having nuts and I'm having a little bit of roast beef every day. But I know that's meat, but it's not like a lot of meat. It's a little bit of meat.
Okay, so you're saying you reduced your meat intake already?
Yeah. I'm walking a ton. So what is your definition for you, Mr. I don't know, like Mr. Vegetarian? Like there are valedictorians and there are vegetarians. All right.
And so, wait, can I add something? So yeah, the other day we were, you know, we went on a supply run and trying to get as much as we can, even though the shelves were, you know, also kind of empty in some areas. So the compromise, there's been a lot of compromise in food than what we normally, you know, would buy. And I had to compromise. So I'm not a baker. I hate baking because I hate having to be so meticulous about a teaspoon and how much butter to put into something and sugar. So I compromised and bought a plant-based cookie dough, and it was chocolate chip. And I said, you know what? I wonder how this is going to be different than normal chocolate chip. And since I, you know, live with the cookie gurus over here, and there's always cookies around in our office, I didn't think I would pass. I don't think it would pass the test. So anyway, I came home. I thought I'd just surprise everybody and bake them. And there was really, it was like one of those, like, you know, baking for dummies kind of packaging. It's already in the ball, you know, they're already pre-sectioned. You literally just pick it from the piece of paper and set it on the cookie sheet and then just like close the oven door. So foolproof, definitely. And then after it was done, I realized that it smelled just like regular chocolate chip cookies. And then when we were eating it, we actually were very, very pleasantly surprised that it tasted very good for a chocolate chip cookie. Good. Not just a plant-based chocolate chip cookie. It was just really good for a chocolate chip cookie. I had probably like three pieces. I didn't tell anybody, though.
Well,
when you say
anything
three
that
pieces,
has...
you mean three cookies?
Three cookies. You guys
you
didn't
had
know that.
Three? No wonder why they were so gone so fast.
Jeez. Exactly.
See, it was pretty good.
So anything that has the adjectives in front of the like the noun, the adjectives plant hyphen based is like does not warm my heart. Okay, it does not. So
I know.
But in the spirit of growth and excitement, I'm willing to try these. Okay, so. Do I have to go to like some Uwajamaya or some place? Yeah. Where do I have to go to get something like that? Okay.
Do I have to go to a bougie boutique grocer in Queen Anne?
Exactly.
It was Fred Meyer.
Okay.
It was just Fred Meyer.
All right.
Wait. So we gotta tell them exactly what kind to get.
When you no, go you to know the store, what? You I will
call us. Okay.
No, I will do this. When I could do that, I could text you exactly what it is so you can see it. You know, the picture and everything. Or what I could do is buy a whole bunch of it, and the next time we are, you know, the welcome day that we're going back to the office, I'm gonna make like more than a dozen of these suckers, take them to the office, and make it seem like I slaved away and learned a new like skill during quarantine and became like a professional baker, and then you guys won't even be able to tell that it was plant based. I'll do that.
Yeah, let's do it. Do a taste. I got it. Do a taste test with me, specifically me, on chocolate chip cookies, and have like one that's not plant based and one that is, and see if I can tell.
Okay. Right? Okay. All right. I accept that challenge. Yes.
Let's do it.
I'm willing to share that with others. Like kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
So kind of.
Yeah, I'm down for that. But the baking for dummies, that's like my sweet spot right there. Okay, like the ball is already made. Okay.
Yes. Oh, I loved it. It was I thought I had to do something super special, add an egg, you know, yeah. or sure. Bring my own chocolate chip. And so when I opened it up, it was already even sectioned off in like these cute little sizes. And I said, oh, I just have to peel them and put them on the sheet, and that's it. Yeah, I would give it 5 stars if I had to review it.
Sure. Yeah, awesome.
Okay, so more plants in your diet is thing number two, whether you choose to do it or you're forced to do it by the pandemic. All right. That's thing number two.
Got it.
Number one.
All right. Okay. Number one. So I'm really excited about the fact that nationally, the attention around voting and absentee voting and the ability to vote safely, whether it's absentee mail-in or it's early voting, has really become like a national discussion. All right. We have not had voting as a really widespread national discussion in the United States for several decades. It's always been among political / civic kind of folks who are really, really engaged in it. And we would be frustrated. And actually but I haven't been in this group. I've just seen them be frustrated for some time because they would be frustrated that it wouldn't get the attention nationally that it deserves. But now it is, and it's got to do with elections, it's got to do with coronavirus, it's got to do with the fact that the president, even though I completely disagree with him, because he'll talk about anything, has come out and, you know, mm-hmm. spoken against voting. And so he elevated it as an issue too, like he didn't want absentee balloting to occur. I've just not seen this level of national attention to how we vote and the practices around it. And that's exciting to me it's surprising to me, okay, but it's also exciting.
Well, the speed, right? The speed with which we entered this conversation was amazing. 2 months ago, there was nothing close to this. And now all of a sudden you've got conservative states and conservative districts that want to make sure that their constituents can vote in the upcoming election. And so it's coming from places, not only is it did it come faster, but it's coming from places that you wouldn't even have guessed it would have come from in the past.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Charles. So one of the things that happens when you get a high level conversation with many political leaders, many organizations, and the news media all kind of in the space talking about it, is that other people who it would not be front and center for them, they begin to focus on it and they bring creativity and innovation to it that is mm-hmm. like they would have devoted elsewhere. It would have gone elsewhere for them. And so they start to think about it here. So as an example, in Milwaukee, an incoming alderwoman, that's their, in the Midwest, it's not an uncommon title to be an alderman or an alderwoman. It's like a city council member.
Sure.
Okay. So an incoming alderwoman just elected in the most recent elections, proposed that they would mail absentee ballots to all absentee ballot requests to all registered voters in the city of Milwaukee. Before she even took office, she said, let's do this. It got big attention. The mayor of Milwaukee said, let's do it. The governor of Wisconsin said, let's do it. The Republicans in the legislature say, don't do it. But they don't have the votes to override this or pass some kind of law because the governor would veto it. So it's going to happen. And so the very first meeting that she's at, this incoming alderwoman, they vote on this policy and adopt it. All right. And this is exactly the kind of creativity and innovation we need to say where instead of saying, oh, we're blocked, we can't do this, we can't build a more just and inclusive democracy, our answers now are we will figure out ways, and the level of attention around us will be the jet stream that carries us along. And I like we're right in the middle of this, and that is really, really exciting to me.
Well, I mean, so let's reveal that the real thing that's exciting to you. It's objectively exciting to see this happening around our country. It is even more exciting to you that we were the first ones to say this. We were some of the first organizations. We were out there early saying mail-in ballots is the thing that we should fight for. That's something that you're also proud of, because it's one thing to see everyone else moving a certain direction to follow them, and it's another thing for us to get out in front and to say, hey, listen, we believe this, even if no one else believes this, and we're actually going to push for it and build a mechanism for people to get engaged. And that's our advocacy initiative on cpnow.org. You saw it in the Seattle Times op-ed that we wrote. And it's now, you know, now people like Michelle Obama's organization, you see it happen in certain states where they're saying, yes, we're going to push for this. Yeah, I think it's something to be proud of.
Yeah, I am. I'm excited. I'm proud of that. I'm excited. And I also think it's one of the ways in which we as an organization are living out really the mission and the vision of our work, that that it's great. We're 2 years into our work as an organization. We ought to be, if we're really good, we ought to be operating at this level at this point. And we are. And so, yeah, I mean, I just feel like we're like, this is the moment, this is the time, and we're moving from like purpose to power in ways that really makes a difference in our society. So, I mean, it's just, it's cool. I wake up each day and I read my Twitter feed, and I'm so used to waking up in the morning and being discouraged and having to pull myself together and say, okay, we're going to overcome this. We're going to make it. Right. Yeah. And it's the other way now. I'm saying, look at all these people doing these incredible things, and we're elevating each other.
Yeah. This is a moment. This is definitely a moment. And I think you mentioned this too about people who are worried around the election and whether or not people would get behind Joe Biden and all that. And it's really, we're seeing more unity towards the causes that we fight for than we have in a really long time.
It's so true. It's so true. We'll devote a podcast episode to this maybe in the next day or two around the unity that's building behind Biden. Okay. And why and how interesting that is, and what it says about the movement and about people's. You got, like, I think unity only occurs when you have a viewpoint towards the horizon that is out there, mm-hmm. at least as strong as your viewpoint toward the immediate. All right, because you understand that what's down the road is as important as what's here right now.
Yeah, this is why the like hope messages during campaigns is so resonant, because it is that like look towards the horizon kind of thing. And it's funny, the further out we look, the more unified we tend to be, because it reminds us of how similar we are to each other, not how different we are.
Totally.
And I want to add.
Maybe. Go ahead.
Oh, are you? She has hiccups, so I was trying to minimize the sound and the background.
No, it's fine.
I, you know, I echo those sentiments because I think one of the beautiful things with CP, and I think, you know, part of why we've been so, you know, successful these past few years is just we understand the importance of the hope message because we all have hope. We all have, you know, a desire to be in a better circumstance, you know, at some point. So we're also very optimistic people who run the organization. But then but the unique thing about it is say, okay, now you got the message. Oh, by the way, here's some things you got to do about your hope, because this is what we're doing with our hope. This is our action piece to our hope. Mm-hmm. So here are your actions. So it's your options now of how you're going to, you know, translate or, you know, manifest your hope into some type of action. And you know, we don't just sit around and talk about, oh, this is what I hope to do. And then as soon as people share that hope, we say, great, go to the website, great, exactly. Go log it, you know, go sign up for a state, great, go contact this person, great. This is like your menu item. It's like somebody coming to a restaurant and saying, you know, I'm hungry, I just don't know what to eat. And then we have like this beautiful menu of things. Do you want this type of food? Do you want that? You get to choose. And then you do it at your own pace. Do it at your own time. And that's what keeps people motivated to come back.
Yep, I agree with you. Right.
Manifest your hope. I like that. Manifest your hope with CP. That's good.
Yes.
Totally. All right. I will circle back to you too, because I've got at least three ideas that I can't wait to bounce off you. But I gotta go do another podcast right now.
Oh, great. Okay. Good luck. Have fun. Yeah, you do. Not surprising. I love it.
Hey, thanks for doing three things. Talk to you soon. Let's get back to work.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. Yes.
All right, man.